Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Just a note before we get going, this is split into two parts that drop at the same time. So if you listen to part one, dive straight into part two afterwards.
I've heard you're body confident now, Lindsay, after listening to James Smith one.
Yeah, no, I don't give a shit. No, I think that's the best way to be, though. Like, definitely, you know, put
exactly.
Out there, get out of comfort.
Well, it's related to what we're talking about today. I'll crack on. In fact, we'll roll straight in from there, Raven. We're rolling dirty from us chatting, because this is Man Baggage. As you can hear, we're already talking, we're already fired up. I'm absolutely buzzing. I've been after Scott Thomas for a while, one of the most bloody successful families in Manchester. They're always doing something. It's just a matter of time till there's the Thomas Academy. All our kids are educated there, doing drama and athletics or something. Anyway, we got the best one, in my opinion. No disrespect to the other brothers. And obviously you came to know Scott Thomas as being a Love Island superstar, where he got together with Kaede. But sort of multiple businesses, a figure in the Northwest, very successful gentleman. Scott, nice to meet you.
Oh, thank you so much for having
and
me. What an intro.
You've not introduced yet, Lindsay. You don't even exist in our reality.
Do you know what, though? Are we actually classed as Manx? Because I feel like we're Cheshire Cats now. We're Cheshire Cats.
We are now. I'm Stretford.
That's my wife. Sorry, listeners. Man Baggage every episode. We're supposed to be getting into men's minds, but I always have a female auditor to call bullshit on any sexist statements. The voice you can hear that can't even wait to be introduced is my wife, Lindsay Kane, who's now basically going to try and argue that her and Scott are from Cheshire, even though after about four shots of Zambuca, they'd both be going, come at me, I'll take your fucking head off.
Do you know what? It's so weird. And people say to me all the time, I've got such a Manc accent, but I'm really proud to be from Manchester. I feel like we are the best people on the planet.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to throw it out there.
I've uprooted my life. I've moved as close to the border as I can tolerate. But we're in Wilmslow, which means you have to lease a Range Rover and have no food in your fridge.
Amazing.
Basically.
Amazing.
So the reason, Scott, there's a million things I could speak to you about, but the reason I picked today's Man Baggage subject, maturity, is I feel like you were a man who's just completed one stage of your life and now you're in the proper grown-up bit of your life. Mm. And I feel like that is really sexistly different for men and women. Men seem to do pretty much act like a kid till, if they want to, about 35, 40, it's all good. Then all of a sudden something kicks in the 30s in men. A lot of women seem to kick that in quite early on. I can remember being 17 and my girlfriend being a fully formed woman who knew what was right and wrong, where I was like, look, my wee's yellow, there's a wasp, and then ran off into a field. So we're talking about maturity. Just if you're not clear on the definition, listeners, maturity is becoming fully grown or developed, having reached the most advanced stage in a process. So I'm going to jump straight in, Scott, and ask you, are men more mature than women?
I would say categorically no. It's so weird. I was having this conversation the other day, literally the other day, and I was saying, like, I'm still maturing now. I'm 34. And I remember, even let's go back to Katie, because you mentioned it then. I got with her on Love Island when I was 27 and she was 20, and she was already a lot more mature than me. And I feel like that's always been the case in my life. Like, literally, I was saying the other day, I'm 34, but I don't know why, I said that my next girlfriend, I want her to be around 25, 26. And my mate was like, why? She's not going to be mature. And trust me, at 25, yeah, girls have got all that stuff out of their life that they're ready to sort of settle down and sort of level up in life. Whereas with me, looking back to me when I was on Love Island at 27, I was such a kid. And like, 27 is pretty old. I think you should be a lot more mature. Mm. But at 27, I've grown so much in that time period from then. I was very much a kid. And I feel like, I don't know what it is, but yeah, definitely men, I feel like, mature a lot later.
I mean, Lindsay, I'll get your opinion, then I'm going to jump in with some science on this. But what do you think? Do you think men mature more slowly than women? Smell my fart. No, yeah, sorry, no. Go and answer, sorry.
Well, Russell's 12 years older than me, so I'm 34.
You're right, Lindsay, we don't need to give actual numbers.
Yeah, but so after my last relationship, I was like, the next guy I go for is definitely going to be older, more mature, that's sort of being done, or, you know, done his life sort of thing and ready to settle down. However, I'm with someone that the only thing he laughs at is like fart jokes. So he's really immature in that sense. He'll cry. I'll find him crying. I'm like, what's wrong? And he'll be crying, laughing at a fart. And I just don't understand. I just don't get it.
Right. So before Twitter lights up, because we've dared to even acknowledge gender exists for some of us, there is some scientific information. Finally, something on gender that can be measured on an MRI scanner. And based on all the psychological research, all the things we can talk to men, all the sociological research, and crucially, the study of the frontal lobe, which is the bit of your brain that deals with emotional maturity, the bit that enables Scott and I to look at a girl crying because someone's cheated on her and our hearts twinge a bit as well. God, I bet that fucking hurt. That bit, that empathetic mirror neurons, they're called, that make us feel what other people feels. What age, Lindsay, do you think that finishes growing in men?
Isn't it in the 40s?
43.
Yeah, I was just about to say. Wow.
You've
got
9 years to go.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, I feel like I've always been a little bit like sort of emotionally mature, if I'm honest, like in terms of like I can be a bit of a joker and have a laugh and everything else. But when it comes to something serious, I feel like I can have those deep conversations. I think for me, maturity, I'm talking about in terms of responsibilities in my life, wanting to take on responsibilities, like for example my finances, like all the things like getting my house in order, all these things that I probably should have done like in my mid-20s. I'm kind of doing them all now because I never kind of wanted to take on responsibilities, and I'm still single. My twin brother, for example, has got a wife, two kids, the dogs, the full works.
The two kids are genetically yours anyway, so don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah, that
if
is
you're
weird,
twins,
isn't it?
The job done.
So you've got to.
I get all the best bits, exactly. Got the best bits. But yeah, I feel like for me, it's not been about being emotionally mature in terms of that. It's more about the responsibility thing. And I think that's something I'm having to take on board now as I get a little bit older. And it's scary because, like, I just like the fact of just living life day to day sometimes and everything else. But when you've got businesses and everything else, I've been forced, if I'm honest, to kind of level up across the board. And I think that's what's been the most difficult thing for me. But I feel like in terms of having deep conversations, I can switch that on because I have got that emotional side to me. But do you find those conversations difficult, Russell?
No, I mean, our deep conversations I've been doing since I was 15, 16, either in Ibiza or around the Dungeons and Dragons board. I'm one of those weird people that both goes Ibiza and is a nerd. I'm a hybrid.
Right, okay.
I'm a hybrid.
Nice.
I can talk prime numbers or Gjeldem, no problem.
Amazing.
But I think what I'm saying is, whether it's an inability to bring responsibility into your life or an inability to settle down or stay with one woman or have that emotional maturity, I don't think I'm talking about depth of conversation. I'm talking about that ability to lose that fear of settling down. And the reason why, it's not just you, it's across the board with men. I mean, I was 36, 37 when I met Lindsay and was finally ready to start settling down, is the front part of our brain is slower to grow. And I know, forgive me, regular listeners, because we've gone over some of this science before, but they think the reason a woman's brain basically does nothing past 30 and is almost fully developed by 20 is because back in the day when we were evolving, if we'd been in tribes, when Denton was still like a wild plain where we'd go hunting and shit, across from Denton to Wivenshaw looking for antelope. The reason is men who were more emotionally mature died quicker because you were like, I'm not going to throw a spear into the guy from Cheadle, man. You know, what's his story? Boom, dead. I'm not going to savagely smash the face in of someone trying to take my woman. You know, he's a human too. You wouldn't have survived very long. So young men have necessarily evolved to have a period of almost brutality to get shit done, which now has no place in our society. I mean, talk about toxic masculinity. They literally, hormonally, and physiologically toxic.
Yeah.
Not out. Yeah. I'm not making excuses here, gentlemen, because you can learn anything. You can learn ancient Greek. You can learn Latin. You can learn to ride a unicycle. You can certainly learn not to be a cunt. I'm just saying there's a lot of evidence here that suggests that necessarily you have a fear of commitment hardwired into you because you're hardwired to get shit done till you're 40.
Yeah.
That's what the science says. So you're not like, oh my God, what's wrong with me? Why can't I settle down like my twin brother? You have hardware built into you to say, keep spearing antelope.
Can I also just say something? Do you think, Scott, that it's because, and this is what I want to hear, and all we want to hear, do you think that you've not settled down yet because you've not found the right one?
I was just about to say then, do you not feel like women are going back to sort of the caveman era? They obviously had to be more empathetic and stuff because they had to raise men. They had to raise the families, exactly. Right? So they had to be in that position to do that. And I feel like maybe that is the point that you're making now, that I need the right woman to try and help me mature in that way. And I do believe that. I do believe it, that I'm going to meet the right woman who's going to make me want to settle down. And I won't settle for anything less than that.
Yeah.
But you know, don't you? Listen, I've been seeing a few different girls over the last couple of years. And they've been amazing, but I haven't had that spark or that fire that's going to make me want to sacrifice the life that I live now, if that makes sense. And I say sacrifice because I shouldn't really say that, because
yeah, but you shouldn't need to sacrifice anything. It should just be like they empower you to do what you're doing,
right?
Well, there are some sacrifices.
No, what I'm saying is, no,
come on,
like,
let's be real.
What?
Freedom.
When I was single, bang other girls.
Exactly. That's the number one freedom.
Yeah, but life is more than that, because it can be...
You're talking to men here.
Yeah.
Wait a second. All right, what I'm talking about is when I say sacrifice, I mean, I live quite... I'm going to say not selfish, but a self-full life, right? In terms of that, I have my daily routine. I do whatever I want, whenever I want to do it. And I'm allowed to build my business in a certain way and everything else because I'm a single guy and everything else.
Yeah.
And I used to have the mentality that a woman might come in and distract me from that. Don't get me wrong. Over time now, I'm starting to believe that the right woman would help me build my empires, help me build who I want to be, and I get that. But at the same time, they're not easy to come by. So, Russell, you've done a really good job there, mate.
Well, Lindsay was in the front row of my audience. I was in a period of what I would call extreme singleness, literally with a spreadsheet trying to keep track of different running jokes I've got going with different ladies, you know, things like that.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So how long were you single for then, Russell?
Well, I was absolutely free only for about 9 months.
Okay.
But I would say I did a 3-year tour of duty in that 9 months, if you know what I mean. I mean, I did 3 full tours in Vajganistan is how I describe it on stage. Mm. But Lindsay was there in the front row, and she was, I like this idea that you could be 29, lads, or you could be 39. The right woman sort of likes the touch paper of that final bit of maturity, because Lindsay was like, you know, what you're doing, you're wearing eyeliner, you're dressing like a twat, this part of your life is not right. You know, do what you like, but this is what people are thinking of you. You might want to think about doing this, Russell. And then after 9 months, I was like, great, let's go exclusive. And all the things she said worked.
Yeah.
They worked. Amazing. My business went to the next level.
Wow. Well, to be honest, I get asked a lot of the time, like, why am I still single now? And to be honest, I never used to get asked that because in my 20s, I was the ultimate party boy, right? And that's what I did for a living. I used to throw parties for a living.
I remember I used to go to some of them.
Did you used to come to Ibiza on a Thursday?
Yeah.
Wow, amazing. Well, listen, I had a great time and it was a bit of a rock star life. But at the same time, people were never looking at me then going, why is he single?
Yeah,
they knew
exactly
why I was single. So like over the last few years when I've sort of like changed my lifestyle and I've become a lot more grounded. People are saying, like, why have you not settled down yet? And for me, if I'm honest, it's because I still know that there is a level of maturity that I need to get to. I'm still figuring out who I am. And do you know what? It's weird because I never actually drew the connection between being single and maturity. But now the more we're talking, I'm starting to understand that. Because if you ask the girls in my office and stuff like that, even though I know I'm a good leader and everything else, I can be quite immature and I can have that banter where sometimes girls are like, you wouldn't say that to your missus. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, I know that there's a level of maturity that you have to be in a relationship. So I kind of get it, if I'm honest.
Do you think men are more likely to regress around other men? In other words, if you're a single guy, but you've got a large male friendship group and you're going out a lot and there's other single guys in, they could be in their 50s. As far as I can tell, it makes no difference. I think men, when they're constantly going out with other men, tend to regress emotionally, i.e. more selfish or more silly or more irresponsible. Whereas women in groups of women, I'm not saying girls don't go out and like chuck a dildo across the room or whatever, or have a cock straw, but they don't sort of row back on actual life levels of maturity.
What do you mean, like influenced by the friends?
I think men, if they're hanging out with a lot of men, are more likely to make mistakes that could mess up a marriage
or take
a drug they've not taken for years. You know, they're more likely to regress emotionally.
A perfect example of that is Casa Amor in Love Island, right?
Yeah.
Literally. Yes. All these guys that are in happy relationships, as soon as they go into this new villa, everything's out the window and it's like a lad's holiday.
Yeah.
And it's the perfect example of how that sort of lad's mentality can take over. And I've seen it a million times before. So yeah, I would have to agree with that, Russell. I think definitely spending more time with guys and being... I've got a mate who's just recently gone single and he's been with his missus for about 5 years and he's loving life, having this little break right now. And he's actually questioning everything. But I said to him, mate, don't get carried away because... Yeah. Like, it's very easy to be in a long-term relationship, come out of it, think the grass is green, have a great little three-month period, but then realise you made a mistake. So I think it's just about being really aware of yourself, if I'm honest.
Yeah. Mm.
What was the turning point that really made you start to sort of mature and leave this sort of party boy rock star lifestyle? Was there a specific thing or has it happened gradually?
I mean, I always wanted to make a change. Like, I just felt like I was self-sabotaging every weekend, if I'm honest. Every night I'd go out and I'd end up being out for 2 days and I was like, I was making a good living, but I wasn't really progressing. I always knew that I was capable of more. I just knew I was capable of more. It was that feeling of waking up going, what am I doing here? I know that I can achieve some great things. And I kept trying to change, but it's hard because there's a massive culture in Manchester of being like, there's a scene in Manchester and most places as well in the UK, there's a culture in this country of, if you get a good job, you go out, you get pissed. If it's your birthday, you go out, you get pissed. If someone dies, you get drunk. So I was brought up around that culture and I found it really hard to break away from it. But basically, when I launched my businesses and I've got a PR agency called The Social PR and I started to get some really good clients. And I had a big client. I got invited to like their chairman's luncheon with all the big dogs and they were celebrating us there for all the work we'd done. And I ended up getting escorted out of this event. And I was like, oh my God. And I couldn't even face my team. I couldn't face my business partner. And I lost the respect of a lot of people around me. But I was like, I've had an amazing year. I've achieved some great things. And this one mistake, this alcohol-related mistake, could have cost me everything. So I was like, you know what? I need to make a big change. Because I couldn't sustain the party boy lifestyle into business.
Yeah.
Because, do you know what I mean? The party boy lifestyle works when you are throwing parties every week. It's great. But when you're trying to run a business, you've got responsibilities. You've got a level of respect that you need to live up to. So yeah, I got into a really dark place after that. And I went, right, that's it. So I decided in 2020 to go on a journey of sobriety. I decided I was going to go 12 months sober. And honestly, it was like taking the Limitless pill. Have you seen the film Limitless?
Yeah.
Many times.
Like literally it felt like that. I just became unstoppable. Like my biggest goal was first of all to get in the best shape of my life because I thought that would represent discipline and everything else.
Yeah.
So I did that. Then I ended up taking over the social PR fully from my business partner. Then I ended up launching a wellness brand called Food for Thoughts, which is now 2 years in. And it's just crazy that everything just stemmed. In that 1 year, I progressed more in 1 year than I did in 10 years of my life, I reckon, in terms of like just like reaching my sort of potential. And don't get me wrong, every now and I will have a drink now. I did the 12 months, I changed my lifestyle, but I feel like I needed that year to break away from the self-sabotage mentality that I had. So that was a big year of maturity for me, big year.
And how old were you?
I was, well, 2020, so I'm 34 now. I must have been about 31, something like that. So it was late. It was late, if I'm honest. And I feel like, again, I don't know, everyone says that you're on your own journey, aren't you? And there's no kind of, I don't know, rules or time periods that you need to stick to. But I do feel like now there's a bit of pressure on me, social pressure, to settle down and have kids, especially when my brother's kids, for example, is like nearly 7 and 8 now. So, yeah. But at the same time, I'm not forcing anything. Everyone's on their own kind of journey.
Yeah. But you as a twin, and Adam's your twin, isn't he? So yeah. Was he always like the good one, and were you the wild one, like growing up?
I think me and my brothers, like, both my brothers were in soaps, right? In the prime of soap, like the era of soap. Like Ryan, for example, when he was Jason Grimshaw in Corrie, like the life he lived, and he took me and Adam along the ride with him. It was incredible. Like we were going to all the biggest parties and everything else, and then Adam got a job into Emmerdale as well. So both my brothers were in soaps from the age of like 16. And people don't really know this, but I wasn't on TV till I was 27.
Yeah.
So I was always the unfamous brother. I was the one who would take the pictures of my brothers. And listen, I never felt left out or anything like that. But it was an experience. But at the same time, I kind of got swept up in that. And I think I was crying out for my own attention in my own way. So that's when I started throwing parties. Like, come on, right, they've got their own profile. I'm going to create my own profile in Manchester. And I kind of got lost in that because in school, I was always the private grammar kid. I was got straight A's, A stars. I went to university. I've got a degree in history. But I kind of just lost all that and went down this other route. So I think Adam, the difference with Adam was, as his twin brother, he met Caroline at a very early age, at 19.
Right.
So and he's still with her now. So let's get it right. If he probably didn't have her, he would have probably gone down a different route. Mm. So I think she's definitely 100% stabilised him along the way.
Yeah.
It's interesting hearing you say that you went to, do you go to a grammar school or a private school?
Yeah, I went to private school. Yeah, William Hume Grammar School.
Right. You went to a really good school. You went to uni, got a degree, but you still ended up reverting to what people would think of as sort of a typical working class lad who's got a bit of a money lifestyle, because that's the culture you were immersed in, right? Same with me, exactly the same with me. I council estate local comp type thing, but even when I got money and got my degree, I would still revert to Zambuca like my face. So I wonder to what extent culture influences the rate at which we mature. I'm thinking about class here. I don't think there's much of a north-south divide on this one. It's if you're working class, you're working class. And you see these, you know, like 12-year-old, what I call toffs, proper posh kids, and they're already like, father, shall I go through to the drawing room? And they don't seem to have a period of immaturity. They seem to come out fully formed at 21. Whereas we seem to, if you've got immersed in working class culture, even if it's mixed with money, this is what people don't realise about being working class. It's a cultural identity, like being French or Nigerian, or so. It's like it's my cultural identity. It's my wallet doesn't influence our working class. I feel, and my consumption patterns are that of someone of elite earning, but my life is I'd be for I ain't getting married for 40 fucking. So I'm wondering to what you found that sort of. It's interesting if you've gone to private school, you've obviously had a comfortable childhood, yet you have like a working class cultural pattern. How have you found that conflict?
Yeah, that's really interesting, actually. I think, like you said, culture is so important. And this is something I actually spoke to my therapist about. I've actually had a therapist for about 7 years. And it's funny, when I first went to see him, I was saying to him, I want to change, but everybody expects me to be the Scotty Special, like the Scotty Special.
That was it, I remember that.
Yeah, the Scotty Special, like the ultimate host, the guy giving everyone Zambucas at the door. I was like, I want to change, but everybody knows me as that. How can I change?
Yeah.
And now I'm going in there going, now I'm this food for thought Scott, like this wellness Scott. I'm actually finding it hard to live up to that, like in terms of like, and he's like, Scott, do you realise that you're always trying to live up to an ideal of who you want to be?
Mm.
And I think, it comes down to your culture, like, and it's about finding that middle ground. And I think, it's difficult because I want to be one of the lads and I still have that old mentality of like, go on, like, who can have the most drinks in a night out and all that kind of stuff. And I find it really hard. Even now, I live a completely different life that I've got those sort of misconceptions. And it comes down to something that we're teaching at like Food for Thoughts as well. When I talk about food, like I'm still, even though we teach people you can eat what you want as long as the right calories for you, I've still built up these sort of misconceptions about you can't have bread, you can't have chocolate, you can't have these things if you're trying to get in shape. And it's so hard to break habits and cultural lessons of a lifetime, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's like, for me, if anyone's trying to make a change, I say, listen, it's not going to happen overnight. It's not. There's going to be, I used to, for example, when I went 12 months sober, and then I decided that the year after I was going to have a drink every now and then, sometimes I'd find myself in situations going, oh my God, I'm a Scotty special again. I'm like, I'm here. And then I realized, your alter ego, it's always going to try and pull you back, and it's a transition. But I had to change the people I was knocking around with. I had to remove myself from certain situations. And if I do go to a nightclub event, something now for work or anything like that, I'll set myself a time limit. Like I'll go, I've got to be in there for 2 hours, and then I've got to get myself out tops, because there are certain cultural situations that are always going to trigger you. So yeah, I do find it that having to break away from certain situations helps you mature quicker, if that makes sense.
Okay guys, we're going to take a break there. I feel like part one has fully matured and we can release it.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.